future has arrived.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
We're created to build community, created to build the kingdom of God.
There is a power when we step into our role as sons and daughters.
The kingdom of God has not moved forward by good conduct. It's moved forward by good belief.
If you want people to be creative, you got to give them permission to really explore.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We are coming to you from the City of Hope, Joplin, Missouri, home of Next Gen Worship, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. Do you know what today is?
What is today?
I try to do it, but I can't ever do it. I'm trying to do the little Reba.
Yeah.
It's National Nacho Day.
National Nacho Day.
I love nachos.
Nachos are so good. We do nachos a lot at our house.
Ooh, so good.
I like real nachos. I don't like a gallon-sized can of fake cheese nachos.
Yeah.
So tell us, what is your recipe? Now, you don't have to give us details or measurements or anything. Just kind of tell us how you make your nachos.
Okay, so I found a recipe for white queso that has one, two, three different kinds of cheese, like real cheese.
Like Asiago.
No, I mean, we're not fancy or anything.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it has like green chilies and stuff like that. And then I like to add either like hamburger if you're like a weenie.
With the taco seasoning in it.
Or like taco meat or like spicy sausage.
Or
is really good.
Smoked chicken, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Smoked chicken nachos.
Mm-hmm. Man.
You could make leftover Thanksgiving turkey nachos.
Oh, wow.
You might not think it, but Rib Crib has smoking chicken nachos that are to die for.
Really? Mm-hmm. You know, one time I had crab nachos. Those were really good, like seafood nachos. Those were pretty awesome.
Yeah, I have a particular fascination with nachos. So much, in fact, that whenever I go to a Mexican restaurant, that is what I order. Let's talk about what happened this last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I saw they have on the menu nachos, and then they have these other dishes. Fajita.
Fajitas.
But what is it called?
Hawaiiana.
Fajitas Hawaiiana.
They were like Hawaiian fajitas.
I'm like,
they had shrimp and pineapple.
Shrimp, pineapple, steak, and chicken. I'm like, can you just take that and put it on a luscious, healthy bed of cheese and nacho chips? And there was a little language barrier, but they did it. And it was incredible.
I did not try them.
Was it a barbecue joint?
No.
There's a language barrier there sometimes, too.
We were doing a filming project in Branson, and my mom and dad took us out to this barbecue place, and Clint ordered nachos at, like, a real barbecue place.
Were they brisket nachos?
They were barbecued nachos, I think, is what they were called.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting.
It was good.
Our youngest son orders nachos every time we're at a Mexican restaurant, too. He wants mini nachos, and if they don't have that on the kids' menu, he will order a cheese dip and then make his own plate of nachos.
Mini nachos for mini me.
Yep.
Happy Nachos Day, everyone.
I like dessert nachos too. Apple nachos. Have y'all ever had apple nachos?
Okay, we're just crossing the line.
No, it's like you Granny Smith apples that you slice up and then you cover them with chocolate sauce and caramel sauce or peanut butter and chocolate chips.
Nope, you're done.
You're done. Weenie. Chocolate nachos.
Nacho
profiling. I want chocolate nachos.
Well, we are diving into some really cheesy stuff today because we have another little highlight show for you from none other than Ray Hughes.
Yeah.
And Ray can get a little cheesy at times.
Ray likes himself a little Mexican too.
I love how he says in this clip that you're going to be hearing today about heaven kisses earth, and we get stuck right smack dab in the middle of the smack.
Yeah.
So Culture Changers 2016 conference we had last month. We're revisiting highlights once again this week, talking about really heaven coming to earth, the heavenly invasion. So we'll talk a little bit more about that topic when we come back. And later on in the show, another beautiful segment from Ray Hughes.
Ooh, nacho.
Get out there and walk. Better yet, better run. Time to blaze a trail that even hell could never travel on. No sitting on your hands. Understand, it's going to take some discipline to pour yourself into the acts of love for your fellow man. No fits, no starts, but steady from the heart. Quick to notice differences and even quicker to mend fences. We're called to perfection, walking in the same direction for your own protection. Avoid insurrection. one master, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, over all, through all, in all. Together, we realize this life filled with abundance. Everything you are and think and do is charged with oneness. But that doesn't mean you think and speak and act identically. Christ has made us each unique out of his generosity. We're all moving rhythmically, many members of one body, woven creatively into a God-breathed tapestry.
The Next Gen. You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
We're empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
This week, we are diving into part three of Culture Changers Conference 2016 highlights. There were so many good things that was said, just unpacked. So many prophetic insights, really, from Ray Hughes that we've kind of been having some conversations with other people that are familiar with Ray Hughes. And believe it or not, he is not normally as prophetic as he was when he was here with us. And just going back and listening to his times when he was speaking, he said a lot of prophetic things about our region. And he that sure was so encouraging.
Sweet.
I love his style of delivery. He's very laid back and just a good old boy. And he stacks one profound thing on top of another. It's like a profound sandwich.
Yeah.
And you can't listen eat it to all. It for days.
It's like a big old submarine sandwich stacked full of all kinds of goodness that you got to like chop up into sections, put it in the fridge and eat it later.
Yeah.
That's true. Like I could listen to him talk for days and days. You know, you think you're just listening to stories and then smack, something hits you right in the face and it's like a big Jesus lesson.
Yeah. Well, on this highlight that we're going to play in a minute, he unpacks a lot of things concerning heaven invading this realm. And that is something that's it's just in the air right now. And you hear so many other groups and communities and worship communities championing this idea of heaven invading earth. And of course, we always draw from that scripture, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is really such a luscious insight when you mix music with it, when you mix worship with it, when you get creativity with it, because our expression can actually be an expression of heaven that comes and invades this realm and starts changing everything.
So let's explore that prayer you just mentioned. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that really imply? What is your kingdom coming? It's his will being done on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as we begin to walk that out and we begin to listen and follow, we start seeing that he's so sovereign and so in control, and even like established institutions that have been around for a long, long time are beginning to waver. They're beginning to kind of topple, and you're seeing these new creative ideas that are beginning to develop that are coming from nowhere, like people that are not typically in the spotlight giving opportunity to step in and say, hey, let's try this. And people are like going, yes, because it's coming from heaven.
Yeah.
Because it's a new idea from heaven and people are automatically like drawn to it.
Yeah.
I like, Clint, when you talk about the will of God, because, you know, it's your kingdom come, your will be done. And that for a lot of people, what is the will of God is a very scary, confusing thing. And they don't have that settled in their hearts and in their minds. So I like it when you talk about what is the will of God. It's if it's in heaven, it should be on earth. If it's not in heaven, it should not be on earth. Mm-hmm. And that really breaks it down and makes it simple to understand and to digest. After it simplifies, then it explodes into this vast, humongous thing of, whoa, that encompasses a whole lot more of the world around us than just like church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that really ties into the thought that we use when we say shift culture, or that we're caretakers of culture, or that we are caretakers or culturing the history of the world. We really are taking that kind of a viewpoint from heaven to earth. And not a lot of people, it's more popular than it used to be, but not a lot of people have a viewpoint of looking from heaven to earth. It's more of we are stuck in a low place looking to heaven, looking to someday when things will get better, not realizing that the work that Jesus did was so all-encompassing. Like when he came out of that grave, it changed everything forever, not just our personal lives. You know, we love throwing in these thoughts about, you know, that Jesus, when he died and when he rose again, it wasn't just for the sake of personal renewal. It was cultural renewal also. It was redeeming all things back to himself. So you start getting this picture and you start busting ceilings. You start taking off the limits because we have accepted a lot of things on earth that aren't in heaven and just called it normal, like sickness, like disease, like poverty. You know, we just list so many things in our world that are influencing negatively, that are actually empowered by darkness to destroy and to steal from people's lives. But knowing that from heaven to earth, a heaven to earth mindset or lifestyle, man, we are empowered to shift culture with heaven. So good.
I think one of the biggest lies that Satan has imposed upon humanity is the fact that he has suppressed creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Only certain talented people are creative and or have new ideas, and we'll just let them make the changes, let them make the decisions, and we'll just go with whatever they decide.
Yeah.
God has empowered and instilled and planted in us, every single human being, the power to create.
You got it.
And the power to come up with new ideas and explore new things. In fact, the Holy Spirit's whispering it constantly to us. If we'll just stop and listen, we could come up with some really great ideas. I mean, how many times have you had a great idea? You think of something that, oh, this is a great idea, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, this needs to happen. And then a year or 2 years down the road, you see it on TV.
Uh-huh.
And you say, that person stole my idea.
Yeah. That was everybody.
Well, the thing is that idea was given to you to do it, to make it happen. Most of the time we'll think on stuff, but we never actually like walk it out. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what Holy Spirit is calling us to do right now. He's calling us to move and to be mobile, and calling the body of Christ to be mobile, the church to be mobile, and to try new things, to fail at new things, you know, just to get out there and do it.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I like to think about the word creativity because I have a lot of friends who have said, and I've said it about myself more than once, well, I'm not a very creative person. I'm not creative. I'm not artistic. I'm not blah, blah, blah. When I think that's just so wrong, because who defines what creativity is? Who sets the parameters of it is bound within the fine arts categories of life? Was it Sean Bowles? I was just recently reading that he said that the first way that God identifies himself to us in the Bible is as creator. Creativity was his first expression. And so that clues us into the fact that creativity is really important and that we are all made in his image, and creativity is in fact in our DNA. I think it's important for people to allow themselves to just break outside of their definitions of creativity. And how are you creative? And maybe it's not with a paintbrush. Maybe it's with some organization.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's with planning vacations. I don't know. I want to be creative in that way.
Well, we were just in a church this past weekend leading worship and speaking there, Haley, and that is part of the message that we brought to the table for them. You know, it was predominantly a farming, agricultural type community. And so we just started busting those ceilings right away. And we're like, you know, what if you could use creativity in agriculture? What if your crops produced 100 to 1 times what everybody else was producing? Or what if you came up with unique ways, you know, to do agriculture? And so that you could see people's eyes get a little bigger and like, whoa, you know, what if? Mm-hmm. That what if question started really blowing up in their hearts. And we're like, hey, you know, what if agricultural companies actually started coming to your city because the breakthroughs that you were having, you know, they wanted to see, how are you getting these results? So I think creativity, you're exactly right. It's not limited to the arts. It's creativity and wisdom mixed together to solve problems at any level that we see on earth, whether it be education, social reform, you know, poverty, in all these areas where there's trouble, where there's darkness, creativity plays a part in the answer.
Like fulfilling your role. You're so gifted, Clint, at inspiring people and being an influencer of exploring places that people may not naturally go or may not think of on their own. But you open up doors for people to walk through and they begin to see the possibilities, the potential.
Yeah.
And that is what we are all called to do, is really follow the giftings that God's placed in us. You and bet. That's not picking up a paintbrush. That's not even writing or playing or producing music. But that is an area that you thrive in by opening people up to new ideas and ask the right questions to get them out of their box and into a new place of exploratory potential. And so by doing those things and by Haley like speaking life and strength into women and saying, you don't have to be oppressed. You don't have to listen to that voice in your head. It's just words. But words have life power, don't they?
Yes, they
have
do.
Power to bring back to life again, to give new life to. You know, it's not necessarily an expression of creativity like art or music or anything like this, but it's just doing what we're called to do and seeing that thing thrive. It might be creating a new product, or it might be being a political voice, or it might be being an artist. But as long as we're just doing what we're called to do.
Come on.
Heaven will come.
Yeah.
It could just be creative solutions for a problem in your home, dealing with your kids, with your budget, all that stuff.
Yeah. Holy Spirit's so good at the thing he's called us to do, and he's so good at empowering us to do it. And the reason is so that the influence of heaven could meet the problems of earth and shift the momentum from darkness to light. And that, like you so eloquently put, Josh, that is his intent, his purpose, his plan, to shift the earthly realm from heaven, from the lens of heaven, that the cultures and values of heaven would shift the way we live, the way we think, and the way we do life here.
We're going to hear more about that from Ray Hughes as we visit another highlight from Culture Changers 2016. I almost want to continue these for the next few weeks, but we've already done 3 weeks of them. He's just got so much good little nuggets of wisdom. Do want to remind you, next week we're going to be sitting down with Planet Shakers Joshua Brown. In fact, just had a wedding. Pretty big deal. It was like a royal wedding. Did you see pictures?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's crazy. So we'll be talking with him about the yes that shifts culture. Mm. And it's really what we're talking about today, is saying yes to Holy Spirit as he says, do this, say this. Mm-hmm. And that's the yes that shifts culture. We'll talk more about that next week. Ray Hughes when we come back.
Each generation has its own divine mandate from God, its own set of responsibilities to release truths and realities in the kingdom into the earth. And we in Next Gen Worship feel the responsibility to begin to steward and call out as a voice to an entire generation. We want to invite you to partner with us financially, prayer, and community. We encourage one-time donations as well as a partnership that creates a connection. Help us empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Your giving will help us travel to cities carrying the heart and message of the worship movement in our region. Continue to produce the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Establish our record label, the Next Gen Worship Collective. Create consumable media geared towards raising up and inspiring the sons and daughters of God that creation is longing for. Hold conferences that are focused on bringing people into a life-changing encounter with God, and much more. To partner with us, go to nextgenworship.com/partner.
The Next Gen. You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Planet Shakers Joshua Brown and discussing with him a little bit about the yes that shifts culture, saying yes to Holy Spirit and what he's asking us to do individually and as a body at large. So that next week here on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. Today, we're revisiting one more highlight from Culture Changers 2016. Here's Mr. Ray Hughes.
When I got birthed in worship, the hunger for knowledge so increased. At the same time, the revelatory realm came to my life. Because I'd been in this music and creative culture and community who are, and the music business is all about self-promotion. And the kingdom of God is all about self-denial. So if you're carrying kingdom within you, you talk about conflict within you. Now you're gonna live your life out of that inner conflict and try to write something that produces life. But what happened when I fell in love with the Lord, that hunger for knowledge and the revelatory realm opening up at the same time, I started walking out who I was actually created to be. And when I did that, I realized that most of all of the music culture and the community that was around me didn't even know anything about how the Word of God related to the thing that was driving and motivating their life, which is music and creativity. But they didn't know anything about the Word of God as it relates to it. Most of us, well, all we knew was make a joyful noise, which justifies bad singing, you know. And so, you know, we'll quote, make a joyful noise or shout or sing unto the Lord. And we don't know what sing means. We think sing is something like you see on television. When sing, as we talked about today, the word shira, there was another word, a biblical word, shira and renah. And renah is born out of the idea of the renan, which is to, when if you can imagine this, 38,000 worshipers at the gate of Zion, and the declaration, the mandate was to sing and rejoice, and the word means to scream like an eagle. So if you can imagine, while the musicians and the minstrels are moving, releasing their sound, now here comes that invocation to all of 38,000 of them to scream like an eagle while they lift up a death knell selah with the reed pipes rattling the heavens and alerting the enemies across the Kidron Valley that God is in their midst. Now that's some singing right there. If you're going to sing, let's get it done like that. It's accessing something in the heavenly realm or in the spirit realm that moves things in this realm. You want to change culture? You don't start trying to create a strategy to change culture on this side. You start by opening heaven over a place and watching the change take place. And what I began to realize is, my point was, what I began to realize is most musicians get their understanding of music either through academia or through the secular music industry, which is a completely different idea than self-denial. It really is born out of self-promotion, and your identity and self-worth is given as a result of the way that you can cause people to emotionally respond to what you're seeing and hearing, and creating a language for them that they can say, that's who I am. That's one of the reasons music is what it is. In the 20s, what took place in the 20s was this. There was a group of technology guys in the day, in the 1920s, came down out of New York City, OK Records and RCA Victor, and they had a machine called the Presto recording machine. And they would roll this thing on a wheelbarrow into the Appalachian Mountains to different places in the mountains, and they would find themselves on an old porch of somebody there somewhere, and they would say, sing me the oldest song you know. And they were kind of what we would call song catchers. But what happened was, as they were finding these old songs in that culture that had not been heard anywhere in the earth for 200 years, except in the isolation and in those pockets of hidden culture that had isolated themselves in the Appalachian Mountains. And of course, it was the Irish and the Scottish sound and the sound of Wales hidden in the mountains that were remembered and passed from generation to generation. And then what happens is they begin to take that music, and it really started in 1922 when in Bristol, the Bristol recordings took place. And now these are folks that that spent their life picking on the porch. Suddenly the sound of their voices are heard on this new gizmo called a radio, and the Bristol recordings opened up the whole world, because now country music, it wasn't called country music at the time. In the early days, it was called hillbilly and race music. And in those early, early days, there were not even any guitars used in country music. That was a polite orchestral instrument that you would have heard in Philadelphia. But in those days, there was the banjo and the fiddle, an African instrument, and the fiddle, of course, that had come into those mountains for the sound on the porch. And also, you go travel farther south into the Delta, you would find diddly bows strung on the porch, and there would literally be a thimble and a string tied to a porch post, and the folks would smack that thing and create the tone while everybody would dance and sing, because music was community. And you'd play the whole house. The whole house would become a cavity of projection of tone and frequency when you would smack that string like a big old piano string or a piece of baling wire. And they would tighten it down enough and then put that thimble under there, and they would take an old medicine bottle, and they would go ring, and they would emulate the sounds of the trains that they would hear across the cotton field. And so the culture began to give sound to the expression of the spirit of those that lived in the land. And pretty soon you would hear the distorted sounds of, whoa, and you'd hear the field hollers and the line bosses' songs, and those things started getting captured and recorded. Now what they did, put them on the radio, and now you know what? Everybody in those cultures began to lose their song, not find it, because now I don't have to sing anymore. I can just go by singing. I used to sing, but not anymore. I buy singing because those professionals and those celebrities out there, the ones that have become stars, they're, boy, that, you know, I should have wrote that song. How many times have we said that? Boy, I should have wrote that, or I should have written that song. I should have written that song because it was my the expression of the hurt in my life, the loss in my life, the woundedness in my life. I've experienced that emotion so much that that is my song. So now we go by their creation or their expression of our experience. And then they begin to monetize our misery. And pretty soon the music industry is born. And because now only the celebrities are the singers. And so you can see how the song can be completely taken away of a culture. And it's never stopped since. And they just keep season after season, trend after trend of new technologies and new expressions come along. And the next it rises up and defines that generation and tells everybody how that they're supposed to feel when they experience music and experience song. And of course, the church has not done a whole lot better. What we typically do is we justify, oh, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. And we go into some contemplative kind of thing somewhere that carries this grandeur of old world knowings around the word of God. And we get so religious that we lose our song, and then we put professionals in there. Remember the days of the arm wavers? They were just trying to motivate everybody to sing something that was somewhat prestigious, but also pretentious. And we really lost our song again. And but now we're living in a time where culture is about to have to yield to presence, because the power of the presence of God is becoming the priority of the people that are carrying the life and the song that can alert the enemies of a generation like screaming eagles by the 38,000 singing a song that cannot even be articulated through the intellectual process, but releasing something in the power of the Spirit. So the enemies of a generation have to back off and say, we can't touch them. God is in their midst. And that's what it was like in the days of David, because that death knell Selah was a sound of a shofar with the screaming eagles of 38,000 people in the midst of the presence of God, alerted the enemy that you cannot overpower my people because I'm in their midst. That's a promise. And those became known what was called songs of deliverance. What was a song of deliverance? A song of deliverance were the songs where you could hearken back and remember what God did in Deborah's day, and in Moses' day, and in Joshua's day. And you know what? The song of Joshua was, I don't know what that was, but welcome to the house of God. That was a new sound in the house of the Lord. that was a fire alarm of some sort. Maybe alerting all of us of the hunter's moon tonight. I don't know if you know it. Tonight it's the hunter's moon. You know, the first full moon after the harvest moon. And okay, all right. If I start there, we won't get back. So I'll just tell you. I'll just tell you that when the people of God are moving out of a place of presence, they're actually hosting not only the presence, but the power of God. And in those days, a song or a sound would be lifted up. And it wasn't just like this. You know, we've all been to shouting conferences and no giants fail. Right? We all go, you know, let's give the Lord a shout. And then there are those times when let's give the Lord a shout and we give the Lord a shout. It's like heaven kisses earth and we get caught in a smack. And there's some kind of a sound of the thunder of heaven resonates within us. And it's not an intellectual process. There's a something that shifts in the spirit realm because of what happens, because it's a shout born out of obedience in the same way it was. How many times could there have been a shout in the history? You want to shout, go to a football game. You know, see, our goals for just having good church services have got to change. You know, if you just want a good Sunday, go to Dairy Queen. You know, if you want a good Sunday. But if you want, but so much of the time we go to church and we think, boy, we had a good Sunday. Do that at Dairy Queen. There's something about God's people coming together with the power of His presence and releasing a sound that alerts heaven that earth is waiting. When you look at really what happened in the upper room, you know, when heaven invaded earth, did you know something? Earth invaded heaven first. Remember that? That was heaven's response to all those days. You know, when that sound came out of heaven, it's because the sound went into heaven. So what are we sowing into heaven on this night that's going to have a response? And when heaven responds, hell will always react. But when heaven responds, the enemy knows they've been put on notice, because this is a bunch of people that have a history with God, and they're remembering His mighty acts in their life, remembering, renewing, restoring, refreshing, watch the word, resounding their praises unto God. What happened with me is, and I don't want to say this, and please understand why I'm saying this. Please capture this. Get this, guys. God wants to raise up clear, articulate voices that are so armed with the arsenal of the Word of God rather than just knowing how to conduct grand events and great services. And he is not impressed with events-driven Christianity. And he's not impressed with personality-driven ministry. And he's not looking for those that know how to stage an event that feels like something amazing when it's really not, when it's somewhat of a counterfeit. And I don't say that with unkindness in my heart. I'm just saying we hadn't even scratched the surface is what I'm trying to say. I mean, thank God for the ability for people to do big meetings and have events and spectacular events and all that kind of stuff. But there's nothing more that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm. And right now there's a lot of sound and prayer, praise and proclamation and purpose of God filling the atmosphere every time we come together like this. And don't think for one minute that heaven's not about to respond.
Such great wisdom from Ray Hughes. Look forward to hearing from him in the future. We will be interviewing him here on the show not too far down the road. Next week, we're going to be talking with Joshua Brown from Planet Shakers about the yes that shifts culture. We'll discuss what's on the Father's heart for our generation and the generations to come. Don't miss it.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.